Well, it's very nice to be with you. It's May 26th, 2023. It's 20:31 hours Eastern Daylight Time. The post is right in the way of my, there's a post that's right in the way of my looking at the time. But I can look this way maybe. But then you can't see me. Today we have a song from a band called America and their album called Hearts. Oh, I've forgotten what year it was. Let me see if I ever knew that. When that was produced. We'll see what we can do here. There's that one. Let's see. Right. Okay, we'll look it up. It's called Sister Golden Hair. The song, a 1975 single by America. It's May 26, 2023, 20:32 hours, Ward Green with you again. Sister Golden Hair from 1975 by America. Another song that I really felt affected me powerfully and it really kept my spirits up and encouraged me during those years. Now, 1975, I was coming out of high school and going into university, so It was released in March of 1975, but I may not have heard it until I got to university in that year, in the fall of that year, possible. That's when I remember it as being, I remember it the most clearly as being when I was at university, I think. That's when I remember in my memories, that's when I was listening to it. And there was just something about that song that it, the drums are very interesting on it too, the way they use the drums, very sparingly actually, but very effectively. In the transitional parts of the song, they use the drums so well. And the vocal part is so purely performed, so purely sung, and it's just a beautiful melody. It's everything about it. There's a lot of good things about it. There's a lot of nice guitar strumming, and it was at that time when it came out. It was my favorite song at the time it came out, for sure. Like, it was that important to me. So our study for today from the Wild Road article. I'm late today. There's a new video on JW.org. I haven't had time to watch it. I want to get my video done first because it's getting very late. You never know what's going to happen. Anything could prevent me from getting it done if I don't try to do it now. So I decided, got to go forward. I've had a very busy day, but I've got to get this done right now, I think. I will immediately after this listen to that video. I'm saying I will. The other thing is, I should be listening to it right now, but it would take me 10 minutes to listen to it, or however long it is. But the original location, in today's study from part two, I think I said part one yesterday, it's part two of Wild Road that we're doing, paragraph 10, part two, chapter 10, now paragraph 3 of chapter 10. The original location from which the dispersion went forth, as the Bible tells us, was the Tower of Babel, or Babel, in Shinar, which was spread abroad. Confused. What was spread abroad? Confused? It's curious. Not sure what was spread abroad, confused from that sentence. The original location was spread abroad, confused. The Tower of Babel was not spread abroad, confused. The dispersion was spread abroad and confused. That sentence is somehow confusing to me. Originally, Nimrod had worshipped fire and the sun. Fire and the sun. And as Menes is associated with the Minotaur, or Asterius, interesting, it says Asterius or the Minotaur. Are they the same person? Or the same animal? The word Aster, signifying fire, as a star or a sun. Asterius, Aster, fire or sun. The Sorthrus of the Egyptians appears as Zoroaster. They sound similar, Sorthrus and Zoroaster. The famous god by the transposition from, that is, Sorthrus appears as Zoroaster by the transposition of TS to Z, as well as by the alternative TH to Z, as in Spain. It also being believed that the Cushites went west into Spain. Well, that's interesting. The similarity of sorceress to sorcerer. If we transpose the TH to Z, as in the Spanish language, we get sorceress, which is like sorcerer or sorceress. And that similarity is notable, and Zoroaster was deified by a worship known as Magia. Pliny dated Zoroaster many millennia before Moses, when we might say 1200 years based on our chronology or blessed genealogy. For Plato stated that the Magi preceded the Egyptians, while we, as others, date Old Kingdom Egypt to 2681 BCE. Nimrod was an idolater who practiced false worship and was the instigator of it by means of the tower. Thus, as Mr. Bryant points out, the mound of earth was a symbol in the shape of a breast or quote-unquote tit, and was the equal of quote-unquote Thoth, derived by consonantal value the consonantal value being the TH and the TH, or the T plus T forming the word, or the consonants of the word teat or tit, the T at the beginning and T at the end, very similar to Thoth, made to be a person by later mythology, but evidently a symbol. That's a different view. Another name for Thoth is Typhon, and Tuph, T-U-P-H, meant hill, H-I-L-L. According to Bryant, the Tower of Belus was denoted of old by both Typhon and Typhoeus, or Typhoeus, as altars to the sun. The tower is built as merely a mark using brick surrounding earth, Bryant claims, and not as sometimes translated to get, quote, a name, unquote, for them, but, quote, a mark, unquote, for the purpose of preventing their dispersion by offering them a visible sign upon the earth, as seen from afar, as seen from afar, as seen from afar. That seems hard to say. Thus, Thoth has been later confused with Nimrod himself. Visible sign upon the earth. Thus, Thoth has been later confused with Nimrod himself in the reign of Menes or Nimrod, with that of Thoth, because, of course, if Thoth just meant the tower, or this mark on the earth that looked like a breast, then, of course, the king called Thoth could have been a construct that came about in the mythology that ended up confusing in later times the king called Nimrod with this king called Thoth, who may not in fact have even been a king. He may have just been a construct from the tower, which was like a mark on the earth in the form and shape of breast. With that of Thoth, the confusion of Nimrod and himself and the reign of Menes or Nimrod with that of Thoth is what we're talking about. This chapter is the history of Cush. Chaos is another word that's just formed from the same consonants, not the same syllables, but the same consonants as Kush, rearranged, we get chaos. The history of chaos, or Kush, and the history of Kushites. That's what this chapter is. That's what we're talking about, the history of the Kushites, and we just had paragraph 10.3. We talked about Zoroaster and the symbol of the tower and what it might have been in terms of its significance as a mark rather than as a name or as a tall tower. It may not have been a tall tower, perhaps. That's the opinion of Mr. Bryant, who wrote the book called The Analysis of Ancient Mythology. That was from volume 3, page 50, from 1776. That's a long time ago, is it not? That's quite a long time ago. It's 247 years, I believe. Quite a long time ago that book was written. Today's proverb, little children, from Proverbs 19, verse 7. The brothers of one of little means have all hated him. How much farther have his personal friends kept away from him? He is pursuing with things to say, they are not. He is pursuing to say things to them, they are not pursuing him to say things to him. And he is the one of little means. He doesn't have a lot. He is not apparently very wealthy, or he's of little means. That's what that ostensibly means. He's not of great wealth financially, but all his friends or his brothers have hated him. And they stay away from him. He's not got much money. And he's chasing after them, trying to tell them things. He's got all kinds of things to say, even though he's not got much in the way of possessions or means, as we call it sometimes. We call it means, or in other words, he doesn't have a lot of means or ways of doing things. If he has not much money, he doesn't have a lot of different means by which he can pursue or solve problems, because he can't just hire somebody to go and solve the problem for him. And he can't just buy something, a new tool that's going to help him solve his problems. He doesn't have many means if he doesn't have much money. So what it could mean there is just that he doesn't have a lot of money. That's certainly one interpretation, but it just says little means. So whatever the reason why he might have little means, maybe he's disabled in some way. Maybe that's why he's of little means. Doesn't say. It's interesting. Jesus was, of course, despised. He was an object of hatred to some people, certainly. Job said that this is true from Job 30 and 10. It's interesting. They have detested me, Job said in chapter 30. I'm just checking to see that's in fact. Yes, it is Job saying that. So our reading from Exodus for today, little children, is from Exodus 35. And this is a new statement. Well, we know about, we've already, it's not brand new, it's not completely new. It's another statement, a reiteration of the Sabbath, but it's a new accounting of it. It's a new accounting of the Sabbath. Later, Moses called the entire assembly of the sons of Israel. Here they were in the wilderness together and said to them, these are the words that Jehovah has commanded to do them. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day it will become something holy to you, a Sabbath of complete rest to Jehovah. Anybody doing work on it will be put to death. They were put to death for working on the Sabbath. You must not light a fire in any of your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine if it were cold in the wilderness at night and on the Sabbath day they were not allowed to light a fire? How would they stay warm? That could have had some consequences. It could have posed some difficulties, certainly. And Moses went on to say to the entire assembly of the sons of Israel, This is the word that Jehovah has commanded, saying, from among yourselves take up a contribution for Jehovah. Let every willing-hearted one bring it as Jehovah's contribution, namely, gold and silver and copper and blue thread and wool-dyed reddish-purple and caucus-scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram-skins dyed red and seal-skins and acacia wood and oil for the luminary and balsam oil for the anointing oil and for the perfumed incense and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And let all the wise-hearted ones among you come and make all that Jehovah has commanded, namely the tabernacle with its tent and its covering, its hooks and its panel frames, its bars, its pillars, and its socket pedestals, the ark and its poles, the cover and the curtain of the screen, the table and its poles, and all its utensils, and the showbread, and the lamp stand of illumination, and its utensils, and its lamps, and the oil for illumination, and the altar of incense, and its poles, and the anointing oil, and the perfumed incense, and the screen of the entrance for the tabernacle's entrance, the altar of burnt offering and the copper grating that is for it, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the courtyard, its pillars and its socket pedestals, and the screen of the gate of the courtyard, the tent pins of the tabernacle, and the tent pins of the courtyard and their cords, the garments of knitted work for ministering in the sanctuary, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for acting as priests. Accordingly, all the assembly of the sons of Israel went out from before Moses. Then they came, everyone whose heart impelled him, and they brought everyone whose spirit incited him, Jehovah's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. And they kept coming, the men along with the women, every willing-hearted one. They brought brooches and earrings and rings and female ornaments, all sorts of articles of gold, that is, everyone who presented the wave offering of gold to Jehovah. And all those with whom there were found blue thread and wool-dyed reddish, purple, and caucus-scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and seal skins brought them. All those contributing the contribution of silver and copper brought Jehovah's contribution, and all those with whom there was found acacia wood for all the work of the service brought it. And all the women who were wise of heart spun with their hands, and they kept bringing as yarn the blue thread and the wool-dyed reddish-purple, the caucus-scarlet material and the fine linen. And all the women whose hearts impelled them with wisdom spun the goat's hair. And the chieftains brought onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and the breastpiece, and the balsam oil and the oil for illumination, and for the anointing oil and for the perfumed incense, every man and woman whose hearts incited them to bring something for all the work that Jehovah had commanded to make by means of Moses, did so. The sons of Israel brought a voluntary offering to Jehovah. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, Jehovah has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he proceeded to fill him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in every sort of craftsmanship, and for designing devices, for working in gold and silver and copper, and in working of stones, to set them, and in working of wood, to make ingenious products of every sort. And he has put it into his heart that he should teach, he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with wisdom of heart to do all the work of a craftsman and an embroiderer, and of a weaver in blue thread and wool-dyed reddish-purple in caucus-scarlet material and fine linen, and of a loom worker, men doing every sort of work and designing devices. That was Exodus 35. So the people went away and found those of them who were of a willing heart and a willing spirit, brought contributions for Jehovah for the things that were needed for the construction of all the things that were shown to Moses in the mountain about the tabernacle, the all sorts of things, the tent of the tabernacle, the hooks, the panel frames, the bars, the socket pedestals, everything, and all of the other things that we've already been reading about and covering in our study were reiterated here. So it wasn't just something that Jehovah had a thought and then he changed his mind about it. He meant what he said about all those things they were going to build for the tabernacle and all the furnishings of the tabernacle and the courtyard. He meant all of those things, and they're all reiterated there, and also for the altar and the for the utensils and the incense and the lampstands and the oil for the lampstands. All of those things, he meant what he said. Jehovah meant what he said. And he through Moses, is continuing to carry out the design and construction of those things. Now, when we think of design, the way Jehovah designs things, it's not the same as humans design things. So it would be perhaps misleading to tell some people who are only well versed in human design about the creation being a work of design, because design in human terms is completely different in understanding the way we understand it. Human design is so much inferior to divine design and the design of the Creator. But yet Jehovah can teach men and human beings how to create or design things, and he can fill their hearts with wisdom and fill them with the spirit that they need in order to be powerful enough to do it, because it's not easy to build and design things. It's very difficult work. It requires a lot of energy, frankly. And of course, not just energy, but creative energy. So Mark chapter 1 today. Let's read Mark chapter 1. Little children, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. We've read already Luke, and we've read John, we've read Matthew. This is the fourth gospel which we are reading now, the gospel according to Mark. Just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Look, I am sending forth my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. Listen, someone is crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of Jehovah, you people, make his roads straight. John the baptizer turned up in the wilderness, preaching baptism in symbol of repentance for forgiveness of sins. Consequently, all the territory of Judea and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem made their way out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, openly confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather girdle around his loins, and was eating insect locusts and wild honey. And he would preach, saying, after me, someone stronger than I am is coming. I am not fit to stoop and untie the laces of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with Holy Spirit." It's more evidence there that Jesus did not baptize with water. "In the course of those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And immediately on coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being parted, and like a dove, the Spirit coming down upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. I have approved you.' And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. So he continued in the wilderness 40 days. This is Jesus being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, but the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was put under arrest, Jesus went into Galilee, preaching the good news of God and saying, "The appointed time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has drawn near. Be repentant, you people, and have faith in the good news." While walking alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting their nets about in the sea, for they were fishers. So Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I shall cause you to become fishers of men." And at once they abandoned their nets and followed him. And after going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In fact, while they were in their boat mending their nets, and without delay he called them. In turn they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went off after him. And they went their way into Capernaum. No sooner was it the Sabbath than he entered into the synagogue and began to teach. And they became astounded at his way of teaching, for there he was, teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Also, at that immediate time there was in their synagogue a man under the power of an unclean spirit, and he shouted, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Nazarene? Did you come to destroy us? I know exactly who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked it, saying, "Be silent, and come on out of him." And the unclean spirit, after throwing him into a convulsion and yelling at the top of its voice, came on out of him. Well, the people were all so astonished that they began a discussion among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching. He authoritatively orders even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." So the report about him spread out immediately in all directions through all the territory round about in Galilee. And immediately they went out of the synagogue and went into the home of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying down sick with a fever. And they at once told him about her. And going to her, he raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she began ministering to them. After evening had fallen, when the sun had set, the people began bringing him all those who were ill and those demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered right at the door. So he cured many that were ill with various sicknesses, and he expelled many demons. But he would not let the demons speak, because they knew him to be Christ. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he rose up and went outside and left for a lonely place. And there he began praying. However, Simon and those with him hunted him down and found him, and they said to him, "All are looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, into the village towns nearby, that I may preach there also, for it is for this purpose I have gone out." And he did go, preaching in their synagogues throughout the whole of Galilee and expelling the demons. There also came to him a leper, entreating him even on bended knee, saying to him, "If you just want to, you can make me clean." At that he was moved with pity, and he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I want to. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy vanished from him, and he became clean. Furthermore, he gave him strict orders and at once sent him away and said to him, "See that you tell nobody a thing, but go show yourself to the priest and offer in behalf of your cleansing the things Moses directed for a witness to them." But after going away, the man started to proclaim it a great deal and to spread the account abroad, so that Jesus was no longer able to enter openly into a city, but he continued outside in lonely places. Yet they kept coming to him from all sides, and that was Mark chapter 1. Just concluded. And that's the end of our study for today. I've been so busy today, I had to go and pick up a watch from the post office. I got a new watch today. I got two new watches because I had one delivered. I ordered one about 2 days ago that I told you was my dream watch, and it arrived today. And it's, I think now that I have that watch, I don't think I'll have to buy more watches. I think it will satisfy my craving for a beautiful functional watch. It's mainly the functionality that I appreciate about the watches. It's not anything about the appearance, although appearance really depends on functionality to a great degree. Form, follows function was something that Frank Lloyd Wright believed in his style of architecture as a great architect. And he was a great architect. But form follows function means that we or he built things, or we build things in a way that is for the purpose for which they're intended. We're not concerned with how they look so much as how they function. And when they function well, they look good because they have this visible quality of functionality. It gives them something that they wouldn't otherwise have, because they look different if they're functional in a certain way. If they're massively functional, then they're going to look different. Or if they're functional in any way, it's going to give them a different appearance from if they're purely made for appearance. For example, I wouldn't want to have a watch necessarily. I mean, it doesn't appeal to me to have a watch. This is Star, actually. This is Crow. Star is a new watch, too. I just got Star very recently. But I wouldn't want to have a watch that was purely for... I mean, Star looks good because Star has an open heart. Star has a moon phase, an open heart, and a power reserve indicator. Well, the power reserve has just gone down slightly, so now from 50 hours gone down to maybe 48 or... No, it hasn't gone down. It's never gone down. It looks like it's lower than the top, but I've never seen the power indicator go below 50 on this watch, so maybe it's broken. I'm not sure if the power indicator works or not, because I've never seen it go below 50 ever since I wound it. When I wound it, though, it went up to 50 from zero. So when I wound her, so I suspect that she will go down eventually if I don't wind her, but she indicates 50 hours still, so I don't have to wind her, I guess. I should just see whether she'll go down, I think. But this watch also displays the day of the month. It says, no, it's the 26th. It's a vertical, what do you call that? Circular is what I'm trying to say. A circular dial that indicates, with numbers around the dial, tiny numbers indicate the day of the month. So if you want to know the day of the month and you have good eyes and good light, you can probably determine the day of the month using that. And this is a beautiful watch, but the reason why they made it beautiful was because it was so functional, because it was an orient movement. It's an orient movement inside it. One of the orient movements. It's the F7M63, I think it is. This movement, which is an older movement, and this was an older style watch, an older. Well, from 2017, I think, when they first started to make this watch. I think it came out in 2017 originally. Then they later came out with a modified movement, I believe. What am I thinking of? I'm trying to think. They modified the, was it the watch or the movement? I'm trying to, which was it? The moon phase. Yeah, they came out with a new moon phase watch in 2020. I believe was the more recent one, but that I could be in error here. I think that's what it was. I don't think it was, but it's possible it could have been 2020 for the first one and 2022 for the second one too. I'm not sure exactly what the dates are. I think they came out with it. This one, that's the first year they ever produced it, but that doesn't mean this is not produced in 2017 necessarily. I think, do I have the date for this? I'm trying to think if I have the date. I know it's the 2017 model year. I think that's what I know. But that's a model year. That doesn't mean much. I got my dream watch also. But the other watch I want to show you, another watch which is beautiful. Well, I'll show you all my watches. How about that? There they are. So, can we see this? No, we can't. Okay, I'm going to open this file in the browser, and then we can see it. That's just, we'll use the same method that we did last time when we had this problem. Is it going to work? It might work. I don't think it's going to work the way it is now. I think it's a negative photographic image. It's a negative image. So open file. We will go to, there's my dream watch. We're going to show all the watches right here. So here we go. What am I looking for? There it is. This is the up-to-date watch family. There it is. Yeah. So now we have on the left, top left, Dusty. And then to her right, Crow. And to her right, Phoebe. To her right, Moppy. And then on the second line from the left, we have Cammy. And then to her right, Gully. To her right, Willie. And to her right, Rolly, which is the watch that has an asterisk because Rolly didn't work the way I'd hoped, and she has to be kept on the desk so that she will run well. And she runs very well on the desk. She's 2 seconds slow right now compared to atomic time, which she was 3 seconds fast a short number of days ago. So she's staying within a very close range of atomic time on her own with only winding being done to her. She's a remarkable watch. She has the day of the week at the top. She's an homage to the Rolex. She's actually a copy of the Rolex. The Rolex day date. But I didn't know that when I bought her. I had no idea she was an homage to Rolex. None. I had no idea. Honestly, I probably wouldn't have bought her if I'd known she was a copy of a Rolex. But I found out afterwards she was a copy of a Rolex, and so I have her. And I love the design of her, and I don't think that I would love the Rolex. I'm being very honest. I think that's not something I would love, to wear a $100,000 watch and have to worry about losing it or damaging it. And I don't think that the Rolex would be as impressive as a watch that costs $138 that does what this watch can do, even though she's unfortunately not proper or not fully functional. But I'm hoping in the future they will resolve the problem that they're having with this watch, and maybe I'll be able to buy another watch like that once they resolve that issue. And in the meantime, I bought the one on the bottom right to replace that watch. And it's the same exact color, it's just that it doesn't look like it in the lighting here. This is, the bottom right corner is in bright sunlight, or evening sunlight, I should say, not bright. I took this picture tonight. This is the picture I took tonight. So this Cadison watch, do I have a name for this watch? Let me think. I don't think I have a name for this watch. I don't have a name yet for this watch. It's the same exact watch, except it's 40 millimeters instead of 38, which Rolex 36. 36 millimeters is what the Rolex used to be produced as, and there was a version of the Rolex. There were two Rolexes. One was 36 and one was 40, like this watch here, the blue one. So they're both exactly the same ice blue color, just doesn't appear like it. But one is 40 millimeters and in diameter, and one is 36. They're not identical, as you can see. Also, the design of the case is slightly different, or somewhat significantly different, but yet they looked identical when the Pagani design, when Rolly had the metal bracelet on her, she looked the same as this, I'm believing, as the Cadison. What am I going to call the Cadison? I did have an idea what I could call her. But on the lower left we have Star, which is an Orient Star watch, just like Cammy's an Orient watch, but this is Orient Star, which is the higher end of Orient. The top of the, it's in a different company called Orient Star, which is the higher end, the best of Orient. And then so this is a $2,000 watch. All these watches are less than $400, except for Dusty is $900 or $1,000, and Crow is 2000. Star is 2000. And this is my dream watch here. $4,000. She has a name too. She has a name. Ellie, she's called Ellie. And this is Annie, the Bauhaus watch with the Miyota movement. Now the Miyota movement is the 8285 with the day date at the having the wide day of the week at the top. It's the same exact movement from Japan as is used in the Catasyn. Same movement. I'm not sure if the day of the week wheel is a different font or not, but it looks like it might be, but it's the same exact movement. So they're both Japanese movements. They're known to be rugged and good movements, and these watches, well, I paid $104 for this watch, the Catasyn, but I paid $400 for the Bauhaus with the same movement. But obviously the case of the Bauhaus is designed differently, and it's made in Germany. That's why it's more expensive than the one made in China. Am I going to call this one Caddy? I don't want to call Catasyn Caddy, I don't think. Oh, I know. I was going to call this watch Ice, maybe. Maybe call the watch Ice. Or because of the color, right? Because it's ice blue is the color. It was the color given to it, I believe, by Rolex. So there's Ellie and there's Star on the bottom row, and there's Annie. Iron Annie is the real name of this watch given by the company too, by the Bauhaus company. So Annie is the right name for that watch. And I don't know, what are we going to call this watch? I don't want to call it Ice, I don't think. I could call the watch Blue, but then there's already other blue watches. So I'm impressed. I regulated the watch today. I want to give the watch a name. What am I going to call the watch? What am I going to call the new watch? She's the last watch that I obtained, okay? So these are not in order, actually, come to think of it. But I wanted to put them in this order because the Swiss watches are one above the other. All the chronographs are in vertical alignment in this column, the second column from the left. And there are the two Japanese Orient watches are together. There's a Japanese Seiko movement here in Moppy. She has a Japanese movement, but made in Hong Kong, the watch, with a Japanese movement from Seiko called the NH35A. The Russian movement in the Vostok is the 2416, I believe, Russian movement. It's made in Russia. It's it's a very nice watch, but it's not a fancy movement. It doesn't have hacking, which means you can't stop the second hand. And I found out also after I received this beautiful, beautiful watch today, the 40 millimeter. I found it's a Rolex knockoff, I guess you'd call it, but I could call it Rolly number 2, but I could call this one Rolly, or we can call it Rolly something else. Rolanda or something, we can call this one, or something else. This is Rolly here, but this one we can call Rolanda or something. I don't know, something else similar, or we'll think about it. Rolanda. She could be called Rolly also, but it doesn't work, does it? Raleigh instead of Rolly, maybe? That's another possibility. But I found out that this movement doesn't hack, which is strange because this movement is also the Miyota same movement, purportedly the same Miyota movement. And it says Miyota. It says Miyota inside this watch through the case back glass, the glass on the back of the watch. It says Miyota movement on it. Inside the watch, but this one's a Miyota and it hacks. It's the same Miyota movement, 8285. It might be from a different year of manufacture, but this one hacks and this one doesn't. I love the blue hand for the second hand. That's the thing I love the most about this watch. About Rolly, too. I loved Rolly and what can I call this watch? Come on, we need a name for this watch. I don't know. What things are we could call the watch? Sky, because it looks sky blue, but it's not. That's not the true color of the watch. Maybe I can get the watch. I don't think I can reach the watch from where I'm sitting. I want to show you this watch. I mean, you can see all the watches, but I want you to see the color. That's what I want, because you can see the color of Ellie. She's white, but it's blue hands, and Star has got blue hands, and Star has got a white dial. This blue hand is my favorite feature of any watch now. Blue hands on a white dial is the most visible that I've ever seen in any watch. In the dark, not just in any lighting, but in a dim lighting such as I always have when I'm working at the computer. It's dim lighting. I need to have high visibility. So this is the new watch, the last watch that I've gotten of the 12. This one, and I also have a Casio, of course, the digital watch, but this is in fact, have we got a name yet? I still didn't get a name. What was I going to call her again? Yeah, that's the true color. See that? That's the real color. It matches Rolly. It's not this blue color that you see in the outdoor light. So I might have to try and tint that photo later, but it's good enough. That's the photo I took. I didn't alter the colors on it. I just made it a little bit brighter, but the colors are the same as what I took with the iPhone 6S outside today at about 6:30 or so in the evening, or 7 o'clock. Evening light, beautiful light. And this is the color in the indoors, and this is the color she normally looks, is this color. Beautiful, beautiful ice blue color. That's the color. Beautiful, beautiful watch. This is my favorite style. It's a little bigger than I wanted. I preferred the 36 millimeter, but maybe I'll learn to love the 40 millimeter size. She's certainly smaller than Rolly. Let's try and get them, you know, compared. You see the difference in size? Yeah, let's see here. Yeah. Rolly's, this is not Rolly, but Rolly's sister is not anywhere as big, and she's closer to the camera, too. She's not anywhere as big as Crow is. Right? Crow is huge. I can't get them at the same distance. Okay, let's try one atop the other. That's the same distance. I can't do it. Hang on, there. There we go. That is true to size. See how much bigger Crow is than Rolly's sister? Rolly's sister is much bigger than Rolly is. I mean, here's Rolly. Let's compare the two. Rolly and Rolly's sister. Rolly on top and Rolly's sister below. You see how much bigger her sister is? So that's why I just loved Rolly, because she was so nice and compact and still had the amazing wide day of the week function at the top. I just love that. And I know that was a Rolex creation now. I learned it after I bought the watch. But, I mean, let's see. I knew that Rolex had that before. I didn't know it was a copy. I knew that Rolex had created the wide day at the top, at the 12 o'clock position. But I didn't know that Rolly was an exact copy of a Rolex. I didn't realize that. And the platinum version of the Rolex, which is the only one that has the ice blue dial, in the 36 millimeter, even costs $100,000 because it's platinum, because you can't get it in any other metal and platinum is so expensive. So Rolex, I wouldn't want to own a Rolex, which would be $100,000. I mean, I can't see or imagine myself, you know, hammering nails, wearing a watch that costs $100,000, or doing anything else of any sort of, you know, just risking anything, you know, risking the loss of a watch, losing it, or risking losing it, or risking damaging it in any way by even without losing it, by dropping it or anything. Can't imagine it. $100,000. Can't imagine it. Of course, it potentially is worth more in the future. It's actually an appreciating investment, a Rolex. So if you can justify owning one, it might not be a bad investment, but I can't justify it. Even if I had the money to buy it, I wouldn't. I just couldn't. Now, maybe I could if I was a billionaire, right? Who knows? I don't know. I don't think so. But see, the reason is not because of the money. It's, I don't believe that Rolex is as good as people say. That's what I really believe. I know they're good. They're Swiss. They do all these things. I just don't think they're as good as people say. And I don't think I would appreciate being associated with that particular company for reasons which are between me and my own creator. I can't really share those reasons because they don't express in a public forum. Even if I tried, it wouldn't do it justice. So it just isn't my cup of tea, so to speak, to go that way. Can't boil it down to anything. I know from having observed and seen how they conduct business that I wouldn't want to do business with them. That's really what it boils down to, I think. I believe that's it. But I might be prejudiced and I might have wrong ideas about it, so my ideas could change later. Anyway, that was today's study. That's the watch family as of May 26th, 2023. It's 21:28 hours. I love you dearly. You're amazing, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, and you're special. I love you very much. Have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for watching and listening. For me, it's Crow. It's Crow here. Here's Crow. And Star saying, bye for now.